Penguin Random House Audio presents Voices of the Fallen Heroes and Other Stories by Yukio Mishima. Edited by Stephen Dodd. Introduction by John Nathan. Read for you by Brian Nishi. Introduction. Yukio Mishima wrote in a frenzy, as if his demons arrived with stories that he was compelled to tell in order to placate them. Though he was only 45 when he died in 1970 by his own hand, suicide seems too mild a word for harakiri. He wrote dozens of books of essays and 40 plays, all lavishly staged, 35 novels, 19 serious and 15 popular, often working on one of each simultaneously, and published 170 short stories, 25 volumes worth. The 14 stories collected here are late Mishima, if one can speak of late work from an author who evolved as precipitately as he did, written between 1962 and 1969, the last decade of his short life. Six of them, The Strange Tale of Shimmering Moon Villa, The Peacocks, True Love at Dawn, Companions, Voices of the Fallen Heroes, and From the Wilderness, were written in 1965 and 1966, extraordinarily busy years even for Mishima. During that time, he finished most of Spring Snow, the first volume of his tetralogy, The Sea of Fertility, wrote one of his best-selling romance novels, That Complicated Fella, and a three-act play, Madame de Sade. He also secretly wrote, directed, and starred in a horrific 30-minute film based on his earlier story, Patriotism, and spent 2 months with his wife, Yoko, traveling to New York, touring Europe from Gallimard in Paris to Stockholm, where he did what he could to lobby for the Nobel Prize, and stopping in Thailand to research what would become the third volume of the tetralogy, The Temple of Dawn. Mishima's short stories, a large, variegated canvas of subjects and moods, open a small window on his creative process. They seem to have been written impulsively, dashed onto the page in a single session or two, a respite from the labor of erecting the edifice of a novel. Often enough, they represented a memorialization of moments in his life he wanted to preserve. The Flower Hat, September 1962, for example, recalls an afternoon in San Francisco's Union Square on the way home from a trip to the U.S. The sea is present, as it often is in Mishima's stories. Over there lay the sea. Here was life. But sunlit pleasure was never of much interest to Mishima. As he sits on a park bench surveying the tranquil scene, the narrator recalls that Dog Hammarskjöld has died unexpectedly in a plane crash the day before. Abruptly, his implacable imagination halts all motion, freezing time to reveal a still picture of a moment poised on the brink of annihilation, a preview of the world coming to an end. Cars, January 1963, in which a brief romantic interlude begins at the driving test center, was written shortly after Mishima finally managed to pass his own driver's test. The 18-year-old who offers her pouty lips to the middle-aged dandy Cookie, who has tempted her with a promise to buy her an MG, is a car maniac. The story is chock-a-block with technical talk and car jargon that enhances its reality. Mishima was a tireless researcher. As he wrote Cars, he was spending time at the Yokohama docks with old sailors in preparation for writing that same year, The Sailor Who Fell from Grace with the Sea. From the Wilderness, October 1966, is an unusual example of what may be close to unvarnished autobiography. The narrator, a novelist named Mishima, speaking in the first person as though in an I-novel, relates an incident which actually befell the author and his family in April of that year, when a deranged fan broke into their home at dawn, insisting on a meeting with him. The language is spare for Mishima, The story, relatively unembellished, almost journalistic. Japanese critics weren't sure, but it does seem possible in this eccentric story that Mishima let slip his protean mask. Companions, January 1966, is a veiled foray into the supernatural. From the opening lines, indefinably, there is something unsettling afoot. A father and his young son, the narrator, walk the foggy nighttime streets of Dickens's London in search of a house to father's taste. They encounter a rich man, still young, who takes them to his house and entertains them. They return frequently, and one night are disappointed to find the man away, the house in darkness and the door locked. Drawing me by the hand, he stepped through the door. From this moment, with no explanation, the natural world of the story morphs into the eerily unreal, a tale at once comic and grotesque with ominous overtones. The story's chilling effect is achieved by the young narrator's impassive, matter-of-fact account of what occurs after the door has been breached. A narrative strategy that vaguely recalls Henry James's in The Turn of the Screw. The title story, Voices of the Fallen Heroes, June 1966, very much the longest, is presented as a seance at which the spirits of the young officers in the Imperial Army who staged an abortive uprising on 26th of February 1936 bitterly reproach the Emperor for having branded them as rebels. Later, they are joined by their younger brothers, the kamikaze pilots of the Second World War. For the young officers in Mishima's fantasy, the Emperor's refusal to sanction the insurrection carried out in his name was responsible for post-war Japan's spiritual decline. The kamikaze pilots lament that their sacrifice was rendered futile by Hirohito's proclamation in January 1946. In fact, I was a human being. Their refrain, "Why did our divine sovereign lord become no more than human?" expresses not only a patriotic but a personal grief that seems to have animated Mishima as he swerved into his own idiosyncratic ultranationalism. Mishima wrote about the story, certainly a tour de force, that he had borrowed the structure of a demon play from no theater. He intended the kamikaze pilot's final descent in life, as he nosedives his plane into the enemy aircraft carrier, to represent the penultimate scene in a demon play, the kakeri, the dance of anguish, and he beautifully evokes the delirium associated with that perfervid dance. The thing is to look, simply to look with dagger-like intensity. I devote all my strength to clarity of vision. Look, look, look and penetrate to the core. Voices was viewed as Mishima's first overtly political fiction. The community of left-wing writers criticized it as inflammatory. The far right objected angrily to its implied criticism of Emperor Hirohito. To this day, Mishima continues to provoke controversy along this same axis. In a note he appended to The Peacocks, February 1965, Mishima wrote, "The story is dear to my heart. A beautiful youth who achieves eternal life as a murderer of beauty. This represents for me an idée fixe that will not let me go." The beauty of the peacocks is an attribute of the youth himself, an attribute he must continually murder. This is the opposite of Dorian Gray in Wilde's novel. In order to preserve the adolescence of the beautiful youth, it is the portrait in the painting that must absorb the ugliness of Dorian's sins and his decline, whereas in The Peacocks, in order to prolong the useless life of an idle, no-account man, the beautiful youth in his fantasy must commit ceaseless murder. An astute critic of his own work, Mishima identifies here a fixation that dominated his imagination from the beginning of his career. The Peacocks is a dramatic throwback to his earliest years as a writer, just after the war, when in Mishima's vision...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?